Cause you mean all the world to me. I adore you, Lord. Let's all sing that from our heart. I adore you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. We worship you. Just lift your voice and worship the Lord right now. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you.
Father, we thank you. We glorify you here tonight. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you. We thank you for an opportunity to come before your holy word. That, Father, we know that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. That, Father, heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will last forever. We thank you that it's life to those that find it. It's health to all our flesh. So, Father, as I minister your word here tonight, I thank you for utterance, for boldness. That, Father, your word has free course and is glorified in the hearts and minds of all the hearers. I thank you for a word in season, Father, for the weary. I thank you, Father, that it's not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of your spirit and power. So, Father, I yield myself to you. Whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, Father, we thank you that we are having the privilege to be in your company here tonight. So, Father, we come hungry for you. We come hungry for your word. We come hungry for change in our lives, that we would leave differently here tonight. And, Father, we're careful to give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Amen. Are you guys ready for the word tonight? Is anybody hungry? Amen. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Amen. So I trust you're hungry for the word of God. I trust you brought your faith here with you. Amen. Because that matters. Amen. Amen. Faith matters. You remember blind Bartimaeus? I love blind Bartimaeus in the Bible. Obviously, he was blind and he heard that Jesus was walking by him. And so he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus just kept right on walking. Jesus didn't stop. So he raised his voice all the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the people around him were shushing him. Shut up. Say nothing. You're a beggar. You're blind. Quit being obnoxious. You're not acting correctly. So he raised his voice all the louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And it said that Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. And he told those same people that told blind Bartimaeus to shut up and said, go get him. The same people that 2 minutes before told him to shush, he addressed those same people and he says, you go get him and bring him to me. So they bring blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus is like, what do you want me to do for you? He says that I would receive my sight. And he received a miracle because his faith rise to a level to apprehend Jesus' attention as he went by. See, sometimes we think in our Christian walk that with the promises of God, I like what Brother Kenneth E. Hagin says, that we feel like the promises of God are just going to drop on us like ripe cherries off a tree. That there's not going to be any effort applied on our part to grab hold of the hem of the garment like that woman with the issue of blood. But it's faith that pleases God. It's your faith in how you show up to church, how you conduct your lives, how you go to work, how you deal with your family, how you deal with your circumstances. You're God pleasers because the faith is on the inside of you. And when you release your faith, he's happy and glorified by that. And so when you show up to church, don't show up as this is the Elks Club or this is Tuesday night bowling or something like that. We don't do this because this is the thing to do, especially on a Saturday night. We're doing this because we're here to make a connection with Jesus. You have to have that mentality on the inside of you that I'm getting mine. I'm getting mine. And I'm getting in this, and you have to bear with me here because I'm getting acclimated in this. But you have to understand that just like the woman of the issue of blood, just like blind Bartimaeus, you need to make up your mind that you're not going out without it. And the reason why, it's not on a merit on your part. It's the simple fact that God paid the ultimate price through Jesus Christ that you would have those things. So the price has been paid up here and too high for you to settle in a level of defeat. So it's going to take the right mindset that you decide, I'm not going without what he's provided for, because it would be disrespectful to the price that was paid for me to settle outside of that. Blind Bartimaeus said, hey, I'm getting mine. I've lived blind my whole entire life. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. He says, what do you want me to do? That I would receive my sight. He voiced to the Son of God, accessed the power, and it manifested on the inside of him. You have to have the same tenacity with whatever you're believing God for. You make sure that you get everything that he paid the price for you to have. Amen. And it's going to require something on your part. Yes. Last week when I ministered, we were talking about our will. We were talking about the will, and we use, and I'd like to actually start there. If you wouldn't mind turning with me to the book of John chapter 15, we're going to be talking about being fruitful here tonight. Because like we mentioned last week, and we're going to read a couple verses here in this story when Jesus is talking in John chapter 15, starting at the very first verse, he says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, you know, that goes right there. He's like, hey, my Father, he says, I'm the vine, my Father's the vine dresser. And he says, everything that doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. And he says, those that are bearing fruit, or the tree that does bear fruit, he purges it or trims it or prunes it. Great, great. Kick me while I'm down. I just start getting a little bit, and all of a sudden I'm pruned, I'm cut, I'm weakened to a place of vulnerability in a sense, because I was starting to grow out. I was starting to grow in stature. I was starting to develop. And then all of a sudden the pruner came and cut me back to looking like nothing again. I've been exposed and vulnerable in a place of vulnerability to the elements around me. I thought I was just getting secure in my standing and being masterful in a respect to my circumstance. And all of a sudden, here comes the pruner and I'm cutting down. Praise the Lord for it. Because you're being pruned to bear more fruit. God, our Heavenly Father, looks into your future and says, unless I prune you now, we won't have the fruit that we need in the future to get you through and to be a representative of my work. Amen. That's good. You have to learn to embrace the pruning of our Heavenly Father, because the fruit that is born is not so you can glory in the fruit that you're bearing. It's so that the pruner, the one that shaped you and molded you, receives the credit for the fruit that's on your life. And so he goes on to say in verse 3, now are you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. And he's saying, I am the vine, you're the branch. And if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. You'll bear the fruit of the Father. No, Jesus, that's your responsibility. Jesus is not here on earth other than in you and me. Sure, God, Jesus can visit us here. He's here in spirit. Amen. He gave us the Holy Spirit. But he's seated right now at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, interceding on your behalf. In a sense, there's no need for Jesus to be here because he's made his abode in you. And as long as you're taking up the responsibility of bearing the fruit, you're reciprocating or showing the world what he is. In other words, I don't have to come down and walk amongst men anymore. I got them already here through my family here on earth. All I need them to do is abide in me and I'll abide in them. And the fruit that they're showing and bringing forth, that's how they'll be identified. That's how I'll be seen on this earth, by the fruit that's in them. You can't look at their fruit and deny me, Jesus is saying. I'm the vine dresser. I'm the one that's abiding in them. God the Father is pruning them. All I need them to be is fruitful, and everyone will recognize me through the fruit on their lives. It's important that we abide in him. And I love this in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. He wants you to bear much fruit. And this is what I said last week. People need your fruit. People need to see your fruit. How is it that you're walking in joy? How is it that you're walking in peace? How is it that you got breakthrough in that? I see it on you. I don't know how you did it. We all quit, the world's saying. We all were subject when this COVID, when this plot and plan of the devil. We all quit on this. You didn't. I see something on you that I don't recognize in my own life. I recognize healing, joy, peace, prosperity, a sense of worthiness on the inside of you that I've been searching for. How did you get it? I see it on you. That's the greater one on the inside of me. I wish I could take credit for it, but I'm just a vessel the same as you, Mr. Heathen. The only thing different between me and you is I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The fruit, the peace, the joy that you're seeing is not of my own doing. This is a result that I've been purged and pruned from my Heavenly Father. So you're seeing the fruit that I cannot take credit for. You're seeing the fruit of one named Jesus Christ that paid the price 2,000 years ago so that I could walk and have this fruit. Amen. That is the only reason that this world needs to see the fruit on your life. That's why he says, herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. The world needs to see your fruit. The world needs to see the greater one on the inside of you. I'm going to tell you a story, and you're going to have to bear with me and hope that I can get through this, but this is a perfect analogy. The last time I ministered in Jamestown, I brought up this same story. I have two kids. I have a six-year-old and an eight-year-old. I have an eight-year-old boy. So it was October 27th of 2022. It was, Thursday, you remember. It was a Thursday. So anyway, I remember that date for a couple specific reasons, obviously for this event, but the next day I killed one of the biggest deer that I ever killed. And so praise the Lord, that was on the 28th, which was a Friday, you remember. So praise the Lord, don't write any letters if you're not a hunter or anything. Don't disrespect that. But anyway, I have a six-year-old daughter and my son Aaron. He was in the first grade at the time, so he's, 6 years old. And so he comes home from school, and he's got, a knapsack. He goes to the Christian school there. And so as soon as he comes home, he's like, hey, Dad, I got to show you this. So he has his bag down, and he has a folder, and in that folder, if he had something that he needs to bring to school, you put it in that folder, and then what they do through the day, whatever, they bring it home. So he opens up his folder and he's digging through these sheets. Dad, I got to show you something. Dad, you got to see this. Dad, come here. And I'm like, whoa. I'm starting to get like, what is it? What do you got there? And part of me's thinking I call it booger art. When you're sixth grade, yeah, I pasted this, I colored the, maybe that's not a great way to address it, but they're simple crafts and they're put together and they're, the kids are eating crayons and paste and everything else at that age and stuff like that. So maybe, what is it, boy? What is it that you got? And so he digs through and he's like, He's like, Dad, I know what's in here. Dad, I know what's in here. I know what's in here. Well, what is it, boy? What are we looking for? And so he pulls out, he's looking through sheets, and then all of a sudden there was a candy bar that was in there. And I'm like, he pulls out this candy bar, and it was like a Kit Kat or a Reese's cup or something like that. Dad, I got this. Well, okay, what is it? And he said, well, he said, when I was in class, each time that I do something good, or I clean up, or I pick up, or I help do this, I get a star on the sheet. And he pulled out the sheet, and the sheet was full. I'll get through this. And so he pulls out this candy bar, and he said, Dad, he said, I got this candy bar because I filled out my sheet, and I was a good boy. Now, any six-year-old that pulls out a candy bar or gets a candy bar for that, as soon as they get it at school, bam, me especially if it's them Reese's cups with the chocolate peanut butter, that's how I roll. I don't know anybody else, chocolate, and especially when you throw that peanut butter in there. But as soon as you get that, especially as a six-year-old, thank you, like, that thing doesn't collect dust, you know what I mean? So he brought that home, and he pulls that out, and he said, Dad, he said, I got this because I was good. And I was like, boy, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you for doing that. And he says, Dad, he says, do you think I can have this? I seriously felt, I'm like, boy, I will rob a bank for you right now. What is it you want? Let's go charge, let's max out a credit card right now. Boy, what is it you want? Because what he did was actions, and he got a reward. But I was glorified that he came back and said, Dad, here's the fruit. Here's the fruit of doing what's right. And I was glorified by that. I was honored by that. That no reward is a reward apart from the Father's eyes. No reward is credit unless he's glorified by it. When you get a breakthrough, when you get a healing, when you get manifestations of blessing, Father, this is because of your goodness. This is to honor and glorify you. Because apart from you, I am nothing. This fruit that I'm receiving and walking in, apart from you, is not happening. So every blessing, everything that I receive, everything that I get, is to give you the praise and the glory. And that's why he says, herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. When you manifest the goodness of God here on this earth and people see it, the Heavenly Father is glorified and magnified because of that. People need to see your fruit, and you need to recognize by the words of your mouth his goodness towards you. The twist oftentimes is people, oh yeah, look at me, man, I got this, I got that because I worked hard, well, praise God. You put your hands to stuff, you work hard. There's wisdom, there's knowledge, there's business skill and sense that the Bible talks, and all you're getting, get understanding, get wisdom and knowledge, wisdom being the principal thing. We know there's benefit to those things, but I'm telling you, the more that you grow in some of those things, make sure you return in praise back to the Heavenly Father to glorify him. He is the source of everything good here on this earth. You are here as a member of his family to bear fruit, to give praise back to him and honor back to him. And I want to show you some things here tonight because turn with me over there to Philippians chapter 2. And we talked about this, but I just want to revisit this as a point of review, because we need to release our faith in this all the time. I mean, we never arrive at certain things, and especially the just shall live by faith. Therefore, every single day you need to be releasing your faith. Releasing your faith in the promises of God, who you are in God, in Christ, your authority that you've been given. And I like what it says. I like to read in the Amplified, and I'm going to read Philippians 2, starting in verse 12. It says, therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, So now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent. Work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Let's just stop right there for a minute, because ultimately we do not want to discredit the name of Christ. And unfortunately, by our own actions, we give Christ a bad name, that all of a sudden what he accomplished on the cross somehow was not good enough. And so it says to work out your own salvation. In other words, there's your effort applied right there. You've been born again. Praise God, we're going to heaven. We accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Yes, praise God, but that's not it. That is the start of it right there. And it's people, it's like, yeah, by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of works. That's right. Getting saved is not of works. Why? That was on Jesus' part. He did the ultimate work that you would have salvation available to you. But after you do get saved, it's going to require some effort. It's going to require, as long as you're here on this earth and you have flesh and a devil to tempt it, you're going to be busy till Jesus comes. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't look the same as I did 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Why? Because there's the fall of man that came into place in this unfortunate world is governed by the prince of the power of the air, known as Satan or Lucifer, lowercase g, the god of this world, it calls in 2 Corinthians. But I'm telling you, you have the authority over him. So there are some things that are in place, but hey, we got some effort here that needs to be applied, because he'll continue to trespass till someone tells him otherwise. You have the ultimate authority. You have the fruit of the Spirit that this world needs to see, but you're going to be resisted. And a lot of people don't like that resistance. So he's saying you need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because you don't want to discredit the one who's trimmed you, pruned you, saved you, made you whole spiritually. You need to give yourself some effort that he would not be discredited in this. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that one. It's like, he's not a good representation of the Father. Like, there's things, like, I screwed up. My family, I didn't know my mom and dad are right here in the second row. And maybe some of you have met them, maybe you haven't. I didn't actually know that they were going to be here tonight, so this is a pleasant surprise for me. And I didn't always live right. Now, I was born again. I was 7 years old. But growing up, I didn't always live right. My latter teen years, I got rebellious. I did stupid things and wasn't glorifying and honoring God. But I had respect for my parents. And because of my respect for my parents, I tried not to put myself in a position that would misrepresent the ones who brought me here on this earth. Amen. And so I held the standard or level, not that I got everything right, not that I didn't make a mistake here and there, but through my representation of who my family was, I didn't want to discredit that name. And in like manner, the things of the price that Jesus paid for you, I don't want to discredit the name of Christ based on something that I've neglected and given myself to the flesh. I don't want to take a different course than people like, I thought you were a preacher. I thought you were born again. Whatever you're doing, I don't want it. I don't want it. If you're broken, busted, disgusted, not saying you're not going through a trial, but I'm saying if like you're defeated all the time and you're not living victorious, yeah, we're all in a place where we haven't arrived yet in the things of God here on earth. But if people look at you and say, don't want to be them, because it'd be discrediting to the price that was paid. So the standard and the bar for me to conduct my actions has been set high through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I don't want to conduct myself in a manner that would discredit him. So he's saying, work out your own salvation. Work that out amongst yourselves. Don't discredit his name. It goes on to say in 13, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. I love that it says that. Not in your own strength, but it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This needs to be a faith confession out of your mouth continuously, daily. It's his to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is willing, not by my own strength. Once I accepted Jesus as his Lord, as my Lord and Savior, I was given the will of the Heavenly Father. I wasn't left in a place where I'm swinging at the air here. I'm trying to guess and figure out. When I became born again and the Father moved on the inside of me, I have purpose. I have will. And now I need to discover that desire and that energy that's on the inside of me and allow that to come up and work. My Father, to do and to will of his good pleasure. I'm yielding myself and I'm speaking and releasing my faith. Father, you're working and willing on the inside of me. Your will is alive. And so, Father, I'm in the process of lining myself up with that will. Father, the desire that I have to do your will, the desire for your plans and your purposes, that is alive in me. I'm recognizing that. So help me. Help me. Understand your will, the greater thing on the inside of me. Because that is what will energize me and give me the desire for the lost, for the backslidden, for those that need healing, for those that need strength and encouragement. If I can line myself up with the will that you placed on the inside of me, then we're going to see God manifest. Jesus had to deal with that same thing. He said, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember that. He's like, Father, if it possible, take this cup from me. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was the lamb slain from before the foundations of the earth. He knew the will of the Father. Father, I don't want to do this in my flesh, but there's something on the inside of me that I've recognized that before the foundations of this earth, you had a will and a plan and purpose. So not what I want to do. I'm recognizing your will that you've sent me. I've become acquainted with your will on the inside of me. No, not my will, yours be done. And Jesus saw it because he recognized the will of the Father. It strengthened him. It energized him. It motivated and moved him because he wouldn't want to do it. Jesus wouldn't want to do it in his flesh. And it's the same thing. The greater one on the inside of you needs to motivate you and to strengthen you. Get in the Word of God and get the promises, but make sure you're confessing those things out of your mouth to will and to do of your good flesh, good pleasure. Now look what it says in verse 14. Do all things without grumbling, fault-finding, complaining against God, and questioning and doubting among yourselves. Don't doubt the will that he's already put on the inside of you. Are you born again? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes, his will is on the inside of you. It's working on the inside. Don't complain and wonder why it hasn't showed up yet. When's this going to happen? I should be further along now. Where is God? Don't mumble. Don't complain. Don't gripe about his will. Well, I wanted to do something different. I thought I should be doing this, but it seems like this is what God wants me to do. Why? Why do we not complain? Why do we not move against this? Verse 15. That you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world. It's so important that we give ourselves to his will, that you would shine as bright lights in this dark world. There needs to be contrast. There needs to be something different about the Christian than the rest of this world. It might be their hand, it might be their lot, it's not yours. You need to renew your mind to the fact that he's got higher and better and greater for you. You need to renew your mind to the fact that you embrace the pruning shears for the sake of fruit, that you would shine as a light or beacon in this dark world. Giving yourself to this will so that you would be recognized not for a self-glory, but that he would receive the glory. And so that's what he's saying here. You need to line up your will with his will. Now I want to show you something over here. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter. We're gonna move forward a little bit more into this in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and you received the text there today. Look what it says over there, starting in verse 3. I'll read in the Amplified. I just like the way the Amplified flows here. For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory and excellence and virtue. I love what it says that. For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness. Now, if He's given you or bestowed upon you all things, what does that mean? All things that it says are requisite and suited to life and godliness. I had to look up that word requisite. I'm not an educated man. I didn't go to college or anything. Maybe that's all in part of your vocabulary. But that word requisite means necessary. He's given you all things necessary for life and godliness. So in other words, everything that He's willed on the inside of you, He's brought a supply to manifest it in you. Don't tell me that You've given me all things for life and godliness and me somehow come up short because it wasn't deposited on the inside of me. He says by the Word of God that He's giving you all things necessary for life and godliness. Everything that you need in this natural life and spiritually speaking, every spiritual equipment to prosper and grow in this life. There's nothing that came up that He said, oh man, I didn't see that. I didn't know that was coming. There's no opportunity for defeat on your behalf because through Jesus, He gave you all things pertaining to this life and godliness. And if He didn't, we'll throw this Bible out. If He didn't, if we fall short because He didn't do something, let's all just go home. Based on the words that come out of His mouth, He says, I've given you all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. The knowledge of Him. There's got to be the pressing in to the Heavenly Father. Like He says, you abide in me and I abide in you. There has to come the fellowship and the relationship of the Father, yes, to bear fruit, to glorify Him. But through that fellowship and that closeness with Him, His will begins to be transferred into you. Jesus took those times of prayer where He said, I do what I see the Father do. I say what I hear the Father say. Why? Because You're the Son of God? He is the Son of God, but He took those times to separate Himself hours in prayer and fellowship with the Heavenly Father. He was man just like we were man. Every temptation known to man He was tempted with, yet without sin. But He had to understand the purpose and will from the Father on the inside of Him. So us, in like manner, through the knowledge of Him, we have to crave, desire that fellowship with Him that we could be bearing the fruit properly in this earth. And I like going on in verse 4, by means of these things He has bestowed on us His precious and exceeding great promises, that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers or partakers of the divine nature. And that's it. There has to be the separation, and it might be dogmatic to put these things, but there has to be that difference. He's given you all things that you would be different. He's given you all things pertaining to life and godliness that you would escape the rottenness, the moral decay that's in this world. There's a lost and dying world out there that needs your fruit, that needs you to embrace all things. They need that, and no more now than ever. Now, it doesn't take, a spiritual sluggard to understand, for one, that we're in the latest of days before the return of the Lord. But the things that have become commonplace and acceptable now in the world are so ridiculous. So ridiculous. Now, I get on social media occasionally. this time of year, I like to look at hunting videos and stuff like that, but you can scroll through different things, and sometimes different things will come up. So there was this woman that was a teacher, you know, younger, and she's like, oh man, she's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know if I should go by Mrs. or Mr., you know, because I don't even know what that is, non-binary. I don't know if they can go by whatever they want. They can go by whether they're a male or a female. And she's like, I don't know if I should go by Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. And what are your guys' thoughts on this? Because I don't want to confuse the kids. And then she says that the kids were 4 years old. 4 years old. You're going to do that? You're really? You're a teacher, and you're going up to an adolescent mind of a four-year-old, and you're going to say, this day I'm going to be Mr., tomorrow I'm going to be Miss. That shows you the standard of this world right now. Look what it says in verse 5. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and exercising virtue to develop knowledge, intelligence. Interesting how it says add to your faith virtue. You know what that virtue means? And this is I'm just throwing this out there because we're going to go through some of these and we're not going to camp out on them. If you look up that word virtue in the Greek, you know what that word virtue means? The very first rendering or definition? Manliness. Manliness. Now, don't be hating because it says manliness, but there was a time when manliness meant something. And because of the tack of this world, manliness has been degraded and belittled. And it's not male chauvinistic. He's just saying, man up. And this is for women, too. He's saying, have a backbone about you. Virtue. Be a virtuous warrior. I don't want to be a cowardly, confused, shrunken, not know if I'm a man or a woman kind of warrior here. He says, add to your faith something. Man up. Man up. Because you're going to have to do something and take upon yourself the responsibility, like we have talked about, taking the will of the Heavenly Father. Man up. Well, I don't like confrontation. That's not my personality. Devil does not care. Okay, fine. You're right. Stay at home and cry. Get the snot kicked out of you by the devil. And when you're done with that, you're still going to have something you need to believe God for. And now you've just weakened yourself and crippled yourself because you've given into that attitude. Now, this might not be popular preaching, but I'm saying, man up. I'm in the same boat as everybody else. What I'm lacking or missing is right here. That's my responsibilities. And he's saying, add to your faith virtue. It's going to take some grit. It's going to take some effort and some work where you have to posture yourself to be a threat to the devil, men, women included. This word is virtue here. You need to add this to your faith. Well, I just need to believe God and God's just going to do everything. No, you have a posture yourself that you need to stand in the face of the devil, stand your ground and tell him to get and move. That's going to require something because everything that you have, he's going to consider his until you do something about it. There might be some property owners here. You might put up trespassing signs. Keep people off your property. People come walking on your property. Until you tell them to go, they're going to consider it theirs. That's the way the devil does. If you give him entrance, he's going to consider it his until you tell him no. You're going to have to get or be removed from this situation. But that's going to take some virtue. You're going to have to release your faith, and that's going to take virtue to stand your ground to tell the devil to leave and to go. Why? For the sake of fruit. You're not worth the time to take what's being developed in me for the rest of this world. Well, no, any defeat is just me. It's not affected. That's a lie. Don't settle for a level of defeat because you think that it's just affecting you. Others need to see the fruit on your life. I can give the place to the devil. It's just me. If I'm taken out, I'll be the recipient of my own actions. Yes, you certainly will be, but don't be so selfish in the way that you conduct yourself that you're forsaking what your fruit means to somebody else. The Father's not glorified when we're taken out. I'm just saying. If my kids are hurt based on their decision, it hurts me. It hurts me. If they make wrong decision, I'm quick to correct them because I love them. Same with our Heavenly Father. Have that relationship with Him. Have that relationship with Him. But I'll tell you what. When you walk in the place where you know what's His will, when the enemy shows up, no, you don't, devil, in the name of Jesus. You get your hands off that. If he's persistent, devil, you get your hands off that and get out of here in the name of Jesus. Based on the authority of the one who sent you. Because if I'm a fruit, there's still a vine that's holding me up. We've looked at this before in different angles. Devil, you got a problem, you take it up with a vine. You take it up with the one who sent me. Jesus is the one that paid the price. Devil, you were there. You remember, what is that, over in Mark chapter 10? Is it 18? Where he said, it's one of those in one of those chapters where it talks about he's given us power, authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. But Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I saw Satan fall to the earth like lightning. I was there that day when Lucifer rebelled and he fell to the earth. We weren't there, but I'll tell you what, every sickness, every disease, every demon, every devil, every ailment, every plague was there and recognized that day. Jesus said, I saw when that went down. We're here 2024 after Jesus. We're here before the foundation are here this many thousands of years after the foundations of the earth were laid and judgment came on because Lucifer went crashing to this world in judgment. Jesus was saying to his disciples, I was there when he fell. I saw that he went to this earth like lightning. When Jesus came and he destroyed the works of the devil, it said that he made a victory parade. He went down into the depths of hell and made a show of them openly, triumphing over it in his victorious procession parade. Every demon, every devil, every trespasser that is currently here on this earth was there that day and saw that. So when you stand in your place of authority, you say, you remember Jesus, because sickness and disease, poverty and lack, oppression, depression, whatever devil's trying to get on you right now, you were there that day, 2024 years ago. You were there and you saw what happened when Jesus rose again. And because he rose again, I'm standing connected to the vine contrary to you right now. If you got a problem with the devil, you take that up with him. You were there, AIDS. You were there, COVID. You were there, sickness and disease. You were there, poverty. You were there, depression. You were there, and you saw when Jesus rose again from the dead. So you're not allowed on my life. You were there. I was not there. I'm connected to the one who was there and destroyed you. You get off me. You get off my family in the name of Jesus. And if you got a problem with that, you take that up with him who was there and destroyed you. There's nothing created here on earth on a negative side that was reinvented that the price was not already paid. That's why he says, I give you all things pertaining to life and godliness. It's already been established. You may not know it. You may have not experienced it yet, but know that it's been done. So you position yourself in a place of knowing that it's already been done. Devil's got a problem with it. If your sickness and disease has got a problem with it, take it up with him. He's the one that orchestrated this thing. I'm being obedient to my role in establishing myself here on the earth because I'm connected to my Heavenly Father. His virtue is flowing in me as a vine to the fruit. What you see is me, but I'm backed up by far greater than what I am physically standing here right now. You need to tell the devil and have some virtue to you to make a stand like that. Otherwise, he's going to eat your lunch. He's going to roll over you in that area. Amen. We need to be fruitful in that. Glory to God. Let's skip down. We could go through all these things. In verse 8, for as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And it says, for whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritual, short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become obviously oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. He says, if these qualities are yours, in verse 8, and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful. To have these qualities, your effort applied to those. You're not trying to create. These things are there. This is the way that God's nature is on the inside of you. And because your flesh is so resistant sometimes to being Mr. Nice Guy, Mrs. Nice Guy, and there's resistance, sometimes we want to cater. It's like, oh man, I just want to take a path of least resistance and flesh out. Can't I just flick one person off? Can't I just do one thing? Can't I just drop one swear word? It's not connected to the virtue of the Heavenly Father. And so we choose not to do these. Why? For the sake of fruit. He says, if you do these qualities, he says, you won't be idle. You won't be unfruitful. Thank God. That's what I want. I want to be fruitful for the sake of the Heavenly Father. Is that your motivation? Is that your motivation to be the best businessman that you can be so you can fund the gospel to get souls to heaven? To be the most joyous and ambitious person in the workplace that you can return praise and glory back to the Heavenly Father? To walk in that place of victory and authority that it's recognizable that he would receive the praise. He needs you walking in full health. He needs you walking in full joy and peace and patience, long-suffering, endurance, kindness, gentleness. He needs those things to come forward. Why? Because this world needs it. And more as we're approaching the day of the Lord, they need to see your fruit. Father, it's your goodwill to do and to will of your good pleasure on the inside of me. The greater one's working on the inside of me. That power's working on the inside of me. Father, not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to work out, cultivate my own salvation with fear and trembling. That, Father, I would shine as a beacon of light into this dark world that you could receive the praise and the glory for it. I'm going to take my authority for the sake of the kingdom. Why? So you can have more stuff, so you can... No! I need to walk as Jesus walked, that people can be changed. There has to be something different about God's people. And right now, and I'm saying that and hitting this so hard because there's been a blending of the body of Christ where the nightclubs and the churches and the way they're conducting themselves and the casual, and I'm not judging or making sport of someone that's, you know, not dressing in a suit. We do that. Like me, I'm not this guy. You know, I put a suit on when I go to church. That's it. You won't see me any other time in a suit. I'm primarily gym clothes or something like that. It's not about a dress code here. It's not about getting dressed up. But when I'm ministering before people, I want to represent God well. I don't want to be ripped jeans and show a level of disrespect to be acceptable. I don't want to be acceptable to the world because I'm dressed in a certain way or conducting a certain way or because we got smoke machines and lasers and stuff like that. That's not how we roll. I'm not against those things. Hey, people getting born again, fruit is fruit. Get people born again. Meet them. You know, I've led people to the Lord and I'm not in a suit. You know, they're outside or, you know, in the workplace or something like that. Hey, you meet people where you need to meet them. And that's what it's about, first and foremost. But there's been a blending of the things of this world where there hasn't been a great contrast to the liberties that we have in Christ. And the world needs to see that fruit because it is light and darkness. Light and darkness, there's no contrast. When one is present, obviously light, there is no darkness. You know, it talks about not being unequally yoked or equally yoked with these people, with unbelievers. And so we have a responsibility to show them Jesus. And I'm telling you, when you walk in his highest and best, he's glorified by it. Father, maybe I haven't arrived there yet, but Father, I want to be in a position where I'm bearing fruit that, Father, people would see it, that they would begin to praise and glorify you. That has got to be our hearts, to want to change. What are you motivating? I'm just trying to get out of a hard place. Well, you might be going through a hard place, but those are temporary afflictions. You know, we're not path of least resistance. Hey, in the course of, you know, the lifespan and then eternity, a trial. That's why Paul said, your brief, momentarily light afflictions are for a more eternal weight of glory. Yeah. It might be just a season. It's like, yeah, I'm going through this now, but it's working in me. I'm not camping it out, and I'm not going to find a path of least resistance just to get relief from the weight of the burden of this thing. Hey, we're all going through different things, but we're not to camp out there. Whatever, if this is part of the trimming process and the pruning process, I'm going through this. This is crushing me right now. But on the other side of this, there's going to be fruit. There's going to be a wisdom. There's going to be a power on the inside of me when I get to the other side of this, that is going to manifest praise back to our Heavenly Father. Amen. I don't know if you've been helped here tonight. The word's good. It helps me. I preach to myself. So praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you, Father. We thank you, Father, that your word says that herein is our Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That, Father, we want to be a light in a dark place. Father, we want to be individuals with the greater one on the inside of us that impact this world with the goodness of God, because we are different. We are separated unto the kingdom of your dear Son. And so, Father, I thank you that we can get into your word to get understanding of our rights and privileges, and Father, the price that you paid, that we can be victorious, and that, Father, we can start being fruit bearers of your kingdom. And Father, we thank you that we draw nigh unto you and you draw nigh unto us, that our fellowship is ultimately with Jesus, that we can understand and know your will on the inside of us with clarity and depth. And Father, we give you the praise for it. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I never want to dismiss a service without giving an opportunity to accept Jesus if you haven't. I don't know everybody here, but maybe you're here tonight and you hear a message like this and you say, well, that's a good message, but I don't know where the beginning stages with God are. I don't know what the first step. Well, it's very simple. It's accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's accepting him, that you could be recreated or a new creation in him, that you could take upon a new nature of the Heavenly Father on the inside of you. Well, how do I do that? Well, it's clear in the Word. The Bible says, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. That's how easy it is. It says in verse 13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means everybody has this invitation extended to them. It's sincerely coming before our Heavenly Father and saying, Father, I want this new nature. I want to be born again so that I can spend eternity with you in heaven and not separated from you in a place called hell. And if you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus your Lord, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I promise you this, I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to make anyone stand up, say anything, or come down front or anything like that. But if you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, all I'm going to ask you to do is simply lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then we're going to all pray together as a congregation. And right there in your seat, you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you've never done that. But I want to know who I'm praying for. Is there anyone here that needs to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Can I just see your hand? As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then we'll pray. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else here that you've never accepted Jesus, and tonight is your night? Anybody else here that needs to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Well, praise the Lord. I did see a hand. So this is what we're going to do. We're all going to pray a prayer together. Right there in your seat, if you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Be sincere in your heart, and the Lord will hear you, and you will be born again. Everyone, go ahead, repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I confess you as my Lord and Savior, that you died on a cross and rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. I'll live for you all the days of my life. in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. That's it. That's it. By being born again, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the greatest thing. And now you have a new nature on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. And now's the time to bear fruit. Amen. So did anybody get anything out of the word here tonight? Amen. Hey.